we want you to come, Brother Collins. We're so glad that you're here. And I want you just to take your liberty tonight. God bless you.
Amen. Yes, sir. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Are you happy to be in the house of God tonight? Amen. Amen. There ought be no other place you'd rather be. Amen. As long as you're living on this earth than in the house of God. Amen. We enjoy vacations. We enjoy hobbies. You may even enjoy your work. But there's no place better than being in the presence of God in the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it is good to be here. And, well, I guess if I could find the camera on my iPad, that might work a little bit better. There we go. Amen. You may be seated. And I want to say thank you to Elder and Sister Riggin for the opportunity to be here. We greatly admire them and have been blessed numerous times by your pastor's preaching and teaching. And that just puts even more pressure on someone like me to come here. And I know what you hear on a regular basis. Amen. But it's a privilege to be here. So I think I will take you up and have maybe my third son come and preach tonight. Amen. He's okay, good. He said he would. Yeah, we were in a store last night and he was yelling hallelujah. He wasn't throwing a fit. He was rare occasion, but he was just happy saying hallelujah and he was ready to have church. So maybe he had something for tonight. I don't know. Amen. But it is good to be here. Thank you so much. Thank you, Elder Riggin, for the room. That's always, we actually look forward to that hotel. Some hotels you don't look forward to. And you know, some places it is what it is. I'm not criticizing anybody, but there's just some places you're not as excited about. But this place, the Riggins always treat us so kindly. And we're not worthy of their kindness to us, but we do say thank you for it. And they always have good stuff in the basket. Wow. And I think I was eating what was meant for my sons, actually, earlier. It was pretty good. Amen. So I appreciate you taking care of them. Amen. But it is an honor to be here and to tell you a little bit about what's going on in Taiwan. I apologize for my English. Chinese works a lot better sometimes than the English does. And it's not even always that great. So I don't know. I think we say up a creek without a paddle, so amen. But I make up new English words. That's what happened. My wife was laughing at me today. I was trying to respond to someone's text, and I was telling her, that's a good thing about using Siri. She doesn't argue with me. She just says what I tell her to say. My wife was correcting my English, and she's probably right, but it made sense to me. And later on, she wanted me to repeat what I said, and I could still say it. She thought it was just messed up, and I thought, well, this makes sense to me. Anyhow, thankful my wife's here too. Amen. And for my boys. But God has been good to us, and it's through support of good people like you that we're able to do what we do in Taiwan. And again, I say thank you to Elder Riggin for his support for the work. He has supported us since, I think, before we actually even moved into Taiwan. And we were on our way, but he was so kind to support us. And I know you have a lot going on in Africa, and so for you to take the time and support us and financially pray for us, that means a lot to us, especially when we know what goes on from this church in other parts of the world. Amen. But God has been good to us, and we still live in the same place, Taiwan. The capitals, we call it Taipei. Everybody calls it Taipei. We actually live across a river. And they have politics in Taiwan, too. And so they used that river to change the name of the city we live in. We live in New Taipei City. And across the river is Taipei City, which is actually the capital city, but it's all just one and the same. You can't tell when you cross the river that you're in a different city. There's a lot of people, 8 million people in our metro area. And that covers pretty much the whole north end of the island. Most of us are pretty much packed in together in a smaller area than the whole north part of the island. There's a lot of mountains that run our east side, and so everybody kind of congregates in one area. I may have mentioned before, but the neighborhood we live in, they go by districts. It's called Luzhou, And in our district, there are about 200,000 people, which doesn't sound too bad until you find the size of our district is about 3.2 square miles. And we're one of the most populated, second most populated district in the country. I think we're the 13th most populated district in the world, which is about 67,000 people per square mile. And so there's a few people. You have neighbors everywhere. Amen. I can't think of a better place to be than with a bunch of people who need God. Amen. And so God has privileged us to work in that area. Our church is very close to where we live. It's in another district. I'm not familiar with all the numbers there, but suffice it to say, there's a lot of people that need God. And we have the privilege of bringing to them the gospel. Some people who have never heard any of the truth, they don't know what the anything out of the Bible. They may know of the Bible, but they don't know the stories in the Bible. They know zero. And Elder Reagan, I find with some people, like what you've worked with in Africa, the first step for some people is getting them unsaved so that you can help them to be saved. And so we're thankful for when that opportunity arises, we have the same charismatic movement there. I hate that spirit. Amen. It's a spirit. It's false doctrine. It's sending people to hell in the name of Jesus. Amen. And I don't appreciate that. But it is an opportunity to preach to them the truth. And I'm thankful for that opportunity. But I also enjoy when someone comes to church and knows nothing. They're just a blank slate. And to be able to tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen. The one true living God. We live in an area where there's a lot of idolatry. And this is like Bible idolatry. They've got the idols. They pick them up. They carry them around town. You know, if your God's not real, you got to help him walk around town. And so they do that. They put on these costumes that mimic the idols that they worship, and they go out and walk around town. I've seen them, it's not always this long, but the longest, was it 3 hours that one time, that something like that, that they were actually walking past the front of our church. That was their parade route. And man, they can actually convict you. You think, man, if you can worship a false god for 3 hours, we ought to be able to put our heart into worship. But anyhow, my boys one time got to see the idols switch. They got a little tired, I guess, and so they take a little pause. And we were walking to the church from where we park, and they were marching down the road, and they had to stop and hold that idol. This little set of legs coming backing out of the idol, and the little man moves off, and the next one gets in there to help their god. And I thought, man, that was an excellent experience for my boy to see how fake their gods are. Amen. My God is everywhere. He doesn't need my help to walk around. Amen. He doesn't need me to take him out of his temple to get some fresh air. Amen. He's real. Amen. You can feel him. And they come to church, and I've heard of Elder Bracken being asked, we work with the Brackens, I know you know them, and I've heard of Elder Bracken being asked, what did you put in the air to make us to cry? They're typically very stoic people before they get the Holy Ghost. And they'll come in, they feel the presence of God. They've never felt anything like that in their temples. They've got all these idols, but they're not real. There's devils that are behind those idols. But the idols themselves are not real. They definitely don't love them. The devils that are behind them don't love them. And they come into a place, they can't see God, but they can feel him. And because we know there is a place inside all of us that responds to God, they begin to feel that even though they don't know what they're feeling. And they begin to cry. We just recently had a lady begin coming to church. She's actually our boy's Chinese teacher. And long story short, God opened a door with her, and my wife and another lady have been teaching her a Bible study. She started to come to church, and she was in a conference here just recently, a few weeks ago, and she was feeling the presence of God, and our guest preacher went back and began to pray for her, and she was just bawling, just crying, which of course we knew what was going on. She was feeling the power of God, and she told my wife, I don't know why I'm crying. I'm not crying for any reason. I'm just crying. And my wife let her know, that's the Holy Ghost you're feeling. And she would continue to pray for a while. And finally, she told my wife, maybe it is the Holy Ghost that I'm feeling. And God is doing great things. It doesn't matter the language that people speak. Amen. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. Amen. God is the same. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. And God has no different requirements for the Taiwanese than he has for us. Amen. There's only one way to heaven. Amen. Repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're not doing anybody a favor if we tell them God will excuse what they're doing. Amen. There's only one way. Amen. And we preach it the same way in Chinese, with just a little bit different sound to it. Amen. As it is in English. Amen. Amen. Bida shuo ni men guren yao hui gai. Fong yesu ji du de ming shou shi jiao ni men te zui de she. Jiu bi ling shou suo ci de sheng ling. Amen. That's Acts 2:38. Sounds pretty much like what we say here. Amen. Amen. And you better say it right. You get your tones wrong, you're going to say something funny. Amen. Amen. But God has been good to us. And we continue to work in that city, reaching into that city, and also just about an hour south of us, teaching a Bible study to a family there. And we've had some other contacts there. There's a particular lady right now we're trying to help while we're gone that we've had contact with. Her husband is in a bad way physically. And, you know, God can use situations like that to reach people. Amen. And however God wants to reach them, we are just privileged to be a part of what he is doing. Amen. No greater work than the work of God. And I have thought recently of doctors. I'm thankful for doctors most of the time. And, you know, if they save a human life, that's a great thing. We're thankful for that. Thank God that he's given them the wisdom to do what they do. But, you know, humans are going to die after a while. It doesn't matter what the doctor does. But how great to be involved with a work of seeing someone's soul saved for eternity. Amen. Amen. It doesn't matter if you preach to them, if you teach them, if you pray for them. There's nothing more rewarding than being a part of seeing a soul find salvation. Amen. And we thank God that he's allowed us to be a part of the work of God there. We don't ask for your sympathies, is that the right way to say it? Don't feel bad that we live in Taiwan. Sometimes people feel bad for missionaries. Oh, poor missionaries. Don't feel bad for us. Amen. We're happy to be where God has called us. And we're happy you're right here where God has called you. I told my wife driving here tonight, I love Kansas. I said, man, I could live in Kansas. This is a beautiful place. Amen. Amen. But God didn't call me to Kansas, so I ain't going to live here right now. Amen. But if he allows me to retire one day, amen, who knows? I hope he comes a long time before that. Amen. But if he does, Kansas, amen, is on my mind. Amen. I love Idaho, though, too. Amen. We got good hunting there. Maybe I can have one place in both. Amen. Amen. I'm happy to be in the house of God tonight. Amen. I will attempt to do what I feel for this evening. I don't preach long. I don't teach long. I don't even know what this is. I just want to give you what I feel God has for this evening. Amen. And then we'll get you out of here and get you home so you can sleep good tonight. Amen. I'd be happy to hear your pastor preach or teach. And he might wish that he did after I get done. Who knows? That'd make two of us. Amen. But thank you again, Elder Riggin, so much for allowing us to be here. Good to see my friend, Brother Jared Hilton. Amen. Met him a long time ago. Amen. Let's see. Wow. I don't know. It's probably getting close to 20 years ago since the first time I met him. And he doesn't remember, but that's okay. And Heritage, I guess it would have been. I can't remember. Maybe 2008 was the first time I went. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But good to see him again. I appreciate the help that he is to your pastor. Amen. God bless him and his family. Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Give honor to the people of God. Amen. Without the people of God, there's not much of a church. Amen. And so we honor the people of God. And as preachers of the gospel. We're first saints. I'm thankful to be a part of the church. Amen. Thankful that God allowed me to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. If he never called me to preach, that's no big deal. Just to be allowed to live for God is a privilege. And I'm thankful for it, and I don't want to let him down. Amen. I give honor most of all to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all about him. Amen. What would we do without him? Amen. Thank the Lord. Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. Very familiar to most everyone. And I'm not preaching anything new. Amen. We're not interested in anything new. Amen. We're interested in the gospel that was once delivered to the saints. Amen. Jesus doesn't change, nor does his word. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6. The Bible says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Amen. Would you pray with me tonight? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the privilege we have to one more time be in your presence tonight. I pray you would bless your people, Lord. Loose and anoint my mind to think your thoughts. Loose and anoint my mouth that it may speak your word. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the glory and the honor for it. Bless your people, we pray, in this service tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. The Lord bless you. Please be seated. Amen. Amen. We know this scripture. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We could probably quote it in our sleep. But I believe it's good at times to look back at scriptures we've heard often and to begin to remind ourselves of what is really being said. If without faith you cannot please God, I think this is a pretty important topic. Amen. You can have your sleeve length right. You can sing the right songs. You can look just right. But without faith, you cannot be pleasing to God. Amen. You can come to the church house. You can be on time. You can pray. You can teach Sunday school. You can preach a message. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Notice there are no caveats that are inserted in between him being a rewarder and those who diligently seek him. Because we are humans, we often insert our own caveats. He is a rewarder if I do this, this, and this. He is a rewarder of my pastor. He is a rewarder of those who have been in the church for a long time. And we can begin to excuse ourselves from what God can do for us. But the Bible says he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It matters not how long you've been in the church. It matters not the language that you speak or the color of your skin. If you will diligently seek the Lord, he is a rewarder of them that do so. Amen. I want to preach whatever it is for just a few minutes on this thought tonight. Come to Jesus with faith. Amen. It did not matter the time or the place or the setting. When people came to Jesus, every time you read in the Bible, they expected something to happen. Amen. They expected someone to be healed. They expected someone to be delivered from the devil. They expected to hear what they needed. Amen. And it should be no different today when we come to the house of God. Amen. It should be no different because where two or three are gathered together in his name, I realize that can be explained a lot of different ways, but I don't think there's a problem with taking it at face value. Where two or three are gathered together in Jesus' name, he is there in the midst of them. Amen. So I must come to Jesus with faith. Some came expecting to receive for themselves what they needed. Others came expecting to see someone else receive what they needed from God. Some even came with a wrong motive. They wanted to catch Jesus saying something that they did not like, or healing someone on the Sabbath day, God forbid, that they might accuse him. Amen. It didn't matter what the reason was they came. They were not going to be disappointed. Amen. Those who came with the wrong motive were going to get what they were looking for. Amen. Those who came seeking an answer from God for themselves were going to receive what they needed. And those who came just to see what Jesus would do would not be disappointed, because God would do something as they were gathered together with him. Amen. Everywhere Jesus went, he was working. Amen. Everybody knew he's going to do something. Amen. And I want to preach to us tonight that we need that same faith. Amen. I hope we don't come with a wrong motive to accuse God and what's going on in the house of God. Amen. But I believe we can all come to the house of God with needs. Amen. I don't know about you, but I got needs. Amen. I'm a human. I've got needs. If nothing else, I just need to feel the presence of God. Amen. Some people come because they need a healing. My father had a young man come to their church just not this Sunday, but the Sunday before. We weren't there, but he told us about it. This young man is going blind. I believe he's already blind forward vision, but he's got peripheral vision. And they came to be prayed for. Amen. That's the right thing to do. Come to where God really is. And they came in the service. And after the preaching, they came up to be prayed for. And God filled that young man with the Holy Ghost. Amen. That was a greater need that the young man didn't even realize he had until he heard the word of God. Amen. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost. People come looking for things. Amen. Where's Jesus? I got to get to Jesus because he can give me what I need. Amen. And that man got a greater bargain than what he was looking for. Amen. But people will go to Jesus because he's going to talk to me, or he's going to heal me, or he's going to fill me with the Holy Ghost. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. Or maybe I'm believing with someone else for them to receive the answer that they need from God. Amen. I want to come with faith. I can help somebody with my faith. And we'll read about it in a minute. Jesus, what are you going to do this time? Amen. It's never a question of, is Jesus going to do something? Amen. If someone has faith and Jesus is there, the question is, what is Jesus going to do? Amen. Amen. I wonder how much we miss from God because we're passive when we come to the house of God. Amen. I'll just preach to myself. Amen. I don't want to come to the house of God with a nonchalant attitude. Amen. Just, well, whatever, it's Tuesday night. Worked all day. Ready to go to bed. Amen. And that's all good and fine. Amen. But when I come to the house of God, it's got to change when I walk into the presence of God. I've got to connect with God. I've got to push the cares of life aside. Amen. I've got to forget about what's going on tomorrow, because right here in the house of God is what's most important. Amen. I've got to reach out to God. I read where it says to feel after God. Amen. There's times where God just comes and touches us, and I'm thankful for that. But I believe it's a lot more often where we've got to first reach to God. Amen. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Amen. I can't be passive and expect to receive from God what I need. Amen. The writer of Hebrews tells us we cannot please God without faith. Uses the word cometh, which means to approach. I believe that's what we do when we come to the house of God. This is God's house. Could it be okay to say, when I'm on my way to church, I ought to be thinking, what's God going to do tonight? I'm on my way to the place where Jesus is. What's he got for me tonight? What's he want to do? What's he want to change in my life tonight? It means to come near and visit, or figuratively to worship, assent to. Amen. As I come near to God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. One translation says, without faith it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whosoever comes near to God, you can't even come near to God appropriately unless you have faith in him, must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. So if I'm going to approach to God, if I'm going to come to him, I need to come with faith. Faith that he's a healer. Amen. When you come and have your pastor pray for you, don't think, well, it's just going to be the same old thing. I'm going to get prayed for and go sit down. Amen. Jesus is here. Have faith that he's going to heal you. Have faith that he's going to deliver you. Amen. Faith that he is going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Faith that he has your answer. Amen. Come with faith. That is pleasing to God. You don't have to figure out what God's going to do for him. You just have to have faith when you come to him. Amen. It doesn't bother him when you come up front and think, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost today. It doesn't bother him when you come expecting, when my pastor prays for me, God's going to heal me. It doesn't bother him if you're just in worship service thinking, God's going to heal me right now. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. The devil wants to cause us to think that God's not interested in doing for us what he did in his word. Amen. It's been a long time since the word of God was written, but I do read that Jesus never changes. If we don't see what everything that God likes to do, could it be us that are the ones that have changed? God does not change. Amen. I'm not casting stones tonight. I'm just preaching at myself. I don't know anybody, anything. I just tell you what God gave me. How about that? Amen. Amen. God sees our approach. Amen. If you come up here and expect I'm not going to be healed, don't be surprised. If you come up here and think I'm not going to get the Holy Ghost tonight, don't be surprised. You're not going to get the Holy Ghost. Don't worry. God's not going to force on you what he wants to do for you. But if we could just change our approach to God, that if I come to him tonight with whatever need I have, God can meet my need. What is faith? The writer also tells us faith, this is another translation, is the assurance, the title deed, or confirmation, this is verse 1 of Hebrews 11, of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by physical senses. Amen. A title deed is the deed constituting the evidence of a person's legal ownership. So faith is this title deed, the evidence of our ownership of things that we're hoping for. Amen. Obviously, this doesn't mean a mansion. Oh, Lord, I really want a Lamborghini. I'm coming with my faith. Well, amen. Lord bless you, but I don't know that that's going to happen. Amen. It doesn't mean a lot of money. That's not what this means. Amen. Papa Jay says it's not blab it and grab it. Amen. This faith is the ownership record for things according to the will of God. And we can know what the will of God is as we look through his word. Amen. God made the Holy Ghost available to me. This is my title deed. And Lord, I'm coming by faith to claim tonight what you have provided for me. This is my proof of ownership for healing. Amen. Jesus is a healer. He's beaten on his back for my healing. So I can confidently come to him with faith, with the title deed. Lord, it belongs to me. You paid for this for me. I have the ownership proof right here. Faith. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Past tense, he's already paid for it. Amen. Amen. I'm not crazy to come to church tonight and expect God to heal. Amen. I'm not crazy to come to church and out of place to come to church and expect someone to receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm not out of place to come and expect someone to receive a revelation of the truth. Because Jesus is here. And these are things that he does. And so why not tonight? Amen. Tuesday night, I got the Holy Ghost on a Tuesday night in our home church. Amen. Jesus heals people on Tuesday nights. Amen. Jesus calls out sin on Tuesday nights. He's no respecter of persons, no respecter of time. It's all the same day to him. Amen. He's just working. Come to Jesus with faith. You remember Jesus in his own area of being brought up. He couldn't do many mighty works there. Not because they didn't have needs. Amen. Not because of whatever circumstance you may mention, but simply because of their unbelief. Amen. There's nothing that binds up a service and the work of God like unbelief. And it's contagious. Amen. Amen. We got to put unbelief out. Amen. My pastor preaches that faith is a conscious decision. Amen. We choose whether we're going to doubt or whether we're going to believe. Amen. Why not choose to believe? Amen. It's a lot easier just to believe God. Amen. Amen. Come to Jesus in faith. Jesus wants to meet your need. We got to work on ourselves. Jesus wants to meet your need. He may have some work to do inside me. He may have some things he's got to change. But Jesus wants to meet my need. Amen. 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 We see many places in the Bible where people received what they needed from God. And he specifically said, it's because of your faith. Amen. It wasn't because they gave him money. It wasn't because they just worshiped him so great. And you know, a lot of times we base our expectation of what God wants to do for us off of what we give to him. We base our, because that's what we do as humans. My boys want to go do, they'll do something at my house. And, oh, Dad, I cleaned my room without being told. Man, that's almost something to run the aisles over. But they expect me to reward them according to what I have done. Or, excuse me, what they have done. It doesn't always work that way with God. You can't force God to do anything. You can't twist his arm. I don't think you can praise him enough to make him do something. We ought to praise him. He's worthy of praise. But we can't make, in our mind, we think, well, you know, people beat themselves up. I missed a day of praise. Oh, God's not going to listen to me tonight at church. Now, I'm not saying miss days of prayer. You understand what I'm saying. But people get in their mind, God's not going to touch me tonight. God's not going to help me because I did this or I did that. I'm not talking about sin. Get sin in your life. You need to repent and take care of that. Amen. But if we diligently, that's what the Bible says. If we diligently seek him, life's going to happen to us all. We're all humans. When I come to the house of God, I can't put God in a box. I think this is what God's going to do and what he's not going to do based off of what I did today. I've got to come and diligently seek him. Again, if I sinned, I need to repent. And that's a whole other thing. Amen. Repentance means leaving the sin behind. I need to repent and never do it again. But come expecting God to hear me, God to help me. Amen. I'm getting off in the weeds. Yeah, I'm sorry. Amen. God rewards them that diligently seek him. And these people came to him with faith. Do you realize some of the people that came to Jesus were vile sinners? Amen. Was it Mary that anointed Jesus' feet with oil? I don't think she had the most respected lifestyle. But did Jesus reward the faith of someone who came diligently seeking him? Amen. Jesus cares when we do what his word says. and we diligently seek him. Diligently means characterized by steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Amen. When's the last time you diligently sought God? Amen. When's the last time I myself diligently sought God? Characterized by steady, earnest, energetic effort. Amen. It can be easy to be disappointed when we don't receive from God what we needed this service. But maybe it wasn't God's time yet. It's not my job to figure out God's timing. Amen. Amen. I just got to come steady. Amen. Every service I'm coming. Every day I'm praying. Every day I'm seeking God. God, I've got this need. God, I know people who have these needs. I'm not disappointed that God hasn't answered them yet. I've got to choose faith. God, you're going to meet this need. Backsliders. Hey, sometimes it takes a while to come home. Some people are backslid for a long time, and all of a sudden they come back. Did they just all of a sudden come back, or was God meeting prayers over the years? Was God dealing with working things out? We don't understand God's ways. We're not going to understand God's ways. His ways are a lot higher than our ways. Amen. And so if I can trust that his ways are higher than my ways and other things, how about trusting him when he just shows us we need to have faith in him? Amen. I want to get to the place where I can just stop right there. Jesus said, have faith in God. Man, I want to get to that place. Okay. Have faith in God. All right, I'll stop right here. God, I believe you. I'm bringing my needs to you again. You said have faith. I'm going to have faith. Amen. Behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith. Seeing their faith. Amen. Faith has actions to it. Amen. Said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, I noticed this tonight, and you've, I'm sure, already seen this before, but Jesus saw their faith. This wasn't even the faith of the man on the bed. I don't know if he had any faith. He was just there. His friend, he couldn't get up and walk away. He had no choice of where he was going. His friends brought him. I believe we can have faith for people. And maybe they sparked some faith in this man. Well, maybe there is something to this. Okay, I'm going to go. Yeah, if you're willing to take me to Jesus, okay. Jesus saw their faith and said unto the, he didn't even say anything to the men with the faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Amen. Because of someone else's faith, this man's needs were met. That's why it's important for me to have faith when I come to the house of God, even if I don't have a great need. Because someone has a need. And they may be needing my faith to help them get to Jesus so they can receive from him what he wants to do for them. Amen. I can pray in faith and help someone to get through and receive the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I can't receive the Holy Ghost for them, but I can have faith. Amen. Use my faith to pray with them that God would fill them with the Holy Ghost according to his will. Amen, amen, amen. All kinds of thoughts come to your mind sometimes while you're preaching. Amen. Matthew chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. Jesus arose and followed him. So did his disciples. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him, touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, ever before she got to Jesus, she was coming in faith. She told herself. Yeah, sometimes you got to talk to yourself. Amen. If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Amen. What would happen to us if when we came to the house of God, we determined before we ever pulled into the parking lot, that if I can just get to Jesus tonight, I'm going to receive from him what I need. Amen. If I may but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. Amen. She didn't feel like she had to make a scene. She was doing her best to not make a scene. She just knew I might just be able to sneak in and touch the hem of his garment, and I shall be whole. Amen. Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Amen. Thy skin color hath made thee whole. Thy language hath made thee whole. Thy praise and worship hath..." No, he said, thy faith hath made thee whole. If Jesus responded to faith all throughout the Word of God, I believe he still responds to faith today. Amen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. The woman was made whole from that very hour. Matthew 15 and 22, "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." Notice again, this is not the daughter coming to Jesus and saying, "Have mercy on me and deliver me from this devil," but a concerned and caring mother who had faith in Jesus and brought her daughter who needed something she could not provide for her. She came with faith to Jesus saying, "Lord, have mercy, amen, and help me with my daughter." But Jesus didn't even answer her a word. Ooh. You ever come to Jesus and he didn't say a word? And his disciples came. And it just got worse. And beside him saying, "Send her away, for she's crying after us. Lord, we can't help her. If you're not going to help her, there's nothing we can do." But he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Then she came and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." Amen. Again, it could be a whole nother Bible study, but there is a place for worship. Amen. The first time she just came, "Lord, have mercy on me." That's okay. Sometimes you got to get the order right. Amen. She worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." And he answered. Not an answer she was looking to hear. "It's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs." But this lady had faith. She was not going to be denied. It didn't matter what Jesus said to her. Jesus wasn't being rude to her. She said, "Truth, Lord." Amen. Real faith doesn't get offended. Amen. "Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Have you ever wondered what would happen in your life if it was according to your faith? Ooh. Amen. I want to be careful how I come to Jesus. He may just say, "Be it unto you according to your faith." And things may just go downhill. I want my faith to be elevated. Amen. Jesus, I'm coming to you because I know you can meet my need. Amen. Amen. Woman, great is thy faith. Jesus answered and said unto him, Mark 10 and 51, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" This is to Bartimaeus. Amen. What a question. "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" You never know what's going to happen when you get the attention of Jesus. The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Jesus wasn't worried. Ooh, why did I ask Bartimaeus this question? No, he just said, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Amen. Faith is important. Amen. You can't please God without it. And you'll never obtain what you need without it. Amen, amen. You won't be saved without faith. Amen, amen. To the 10 lepers, he said unto him, I believe this would be to the one that came back and thanked him, worshipped him. He said, "Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." Amen. Would you stand with me tonight? Amen. We have to come to Jesus with faith. Amen. And I know how it is. I grew up in church. I've been to church on Tuesday nights. We have church on Tuesday night at home. I know what it's like. Amen. You're ready to go home, and I know that's a good thing. That's all right. But did Jesus come here to waste time tonight? I know you've come with needs tonight. I don't know what they are. I don't have to know what they are. But God knows what they are. And God doesn't waste time. And I would sure hate to miss what God wanted to do because my faith was not where it ought to be. Amen. The writer of Hebrews said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That means that he has not changed. And he's here tonight with all his power. Anything that Jesus can do, he can do here tonight. It may be a big need. It may be a small need. Amen. 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 It doesn't matter what you need. God is able. Come in faith. Amen. You need healing? Come in faith. You need a miracle? Come in faith. You need the Holy Ghost? You come in faith. Amen. 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 I believe God is here tonight. Amen. Let's not be in a hurry. I'm not trying to keep you. You leave whenever you're ready. Amen. But God is here. And I don't want to miss what God wants to do. Would you lift your hands and talk to the Lord with me? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. God, I want my faith to be lifted. I want my faith to be lifted. God, so that when you say, be it according unto your faith. Oh, that what you want to happen, God, will happen. Oh, we're seeking you tonight, God. We're seeking you tonight, God. Hallelujah.
Come on, church, let's come around to this front.